Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in a Wednesday edition of the program. Game day tonight for the Hoosiers as well as they return home and will take on Minnesota in a very, very, very important game and the start of a very important week for this Indiana team with two home games coming up. Indiana, I saw open yesterday as a 4-point favorite against Minnesota. I don't know if there's been any movement in that or not, but the big deal, and here's what I see in this game. According to Andy Bottoms, you know, we reference him a lot. He does bracketology that appears once a week this time of year on the InsideTheHall.com website. According to his bracket, and I think others would line up with this as well, Minnesota is a 9 seed. Indiana, in his latest, was an 11 seed. 9 Big Ten teams currently in his field. Minnesota as a 9 seed, Indiana as 11 seed would be the least safe, the closest to being on the bubble in that Big Ten field of teams currently in his field for the tournament. So that's another reason why this specific matchup is big for Indiana, because they're battling a team that is within reason about where Indiana's at as far as the NCAA tournament hopes go and trying to make the tournament. So a big win for Indiana, there's no question about that. A big week. It's obvious the games are at home. It's Minnesota followed by Michigan State. Both solid teams. Both can beat just about anybody in the Big Ten on any given night. But when they're at your place, you got to win these kind of games if you have hopes of getting to the NCAA tournament. And two wins this week, we've talked about it, and we'll talk more about it, I know, would be so big on this team's tournament resume. There is no question about that. They just need to get wins and get, I don't know how many more, different people will tell you different things, but two this week would really, I think, put this team in a different situation looking to the NCAA tournament. So we'll see. But lots of discussion, pregame discussion coming up here on the program today as Indiana takes on Minnesota. We'll do that throughout the show today and lots of other stuff as well. In fact, let's go ahead and look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, in just a few moments, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take more of a look at this IU-Minnesota game tonight. Not a lot of surprises when you look at Minnesota. Obviously, Marcus Carr is the big focus for the Gophers and what the Indiana defense has to try to. I don't know that you can stop him, but maybe slow them down. But we'll talk about him and some other players from Minnesota and maybe some keys to the game coming up here in just a few moments as well. Also, some injury news from Minnesota that we'll talk about related to tonight's game as well. And Michigan State last night took another loss. Purdue pulled away late in that game. We'll take a look at that in our headlines as well. And we'll take a look at the Big Ten schedule, what's coming up. This is a big week, I said yesterday, not just for Indiana, but I think for placement within the standings of the Big Ten Conference. There are some big matchups, some big things that will help shake out the placement, the standings for this conference. It's a very tough conference this year as we get through the week. And it's hard to believe we, you know, really don't have that much regular season basketball left. It's, what, 6 games, 5 games after tonight for Indiana. Just getting to that point where it's going to be crunch time. And Indiana, I believe, with some wins this week, maybe, I don't want to say can be a lock to get in any way, shape, or form, but maybe take a little bit of pressure off because they're going to have to win some additional games after this week. If for some reason they don't win both games this week, and that's very possible with this team, boy, it could be a real back-to-the-wall finish of regular season Big Ten play for this team to see if they're going to have a chance to make the NCAA tournament for this year. We'll do all that in the first segment. Later in the show, Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier will join us to talk IU basketball and to get ready for the matchup tonight. We'll get his thoughts on this Indiana-Minnesota game. And then later in the show, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, will be with us. We'll talk high school basketball. Crazy stuff going on right now in the Hoosier Hills Conference. There is absolutely a logjam at the top of the standings, and we'll break that down for you. We'll look at some of the big games this week. Is weather going to allow anything to be played this week? Jeff DeSales was canceled yesterday. Other games were postponed as well. There are a couple games supposed to be tonight, but I saw already that Austin and Silver Creek has been called off for this evening. So we're supposed to get more snow, right? Later tonight, moving into Thursday morning, will that wreck weekend plans? Because it's a big weekend of regular season boys basketball as we get closer and closer to the tournament. And then you got girls semi-states on Saturday. Silver Creek is our last local team still alive in the tournament, and they are the favorite to win the semi-state and move on to the 3A state championship game. We'll talk about that with Josh as well coming up here in just a bit. And plenty to talk about. Pairing show coming up on Sunday. I'll talk about that in a moment. But that's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out the dinner package deals that they have at Honey Baked Ham. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well if you call ahead at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Couple programming notes before we get to our headlines. Semi-state preview show featuring Silver Creek and Tri-West. We'll talk with Coach Shane of the Silver Creek girls team. We'll talk with Kennedy Striverson and Emmy Rooney, two of the key juniors on the Silver Creek team. We'll also be joined by Coach Gleva of Tri-West in our semi-state preview show. And that show will air Thursday night at 6 o'clock here on the Big X. So again, Thursday night, 6 p.m., we'll have our semi-state preview show for the Silver Creek girls team in advance of Saturday's one-game semi-state at Jeffersonville. Also, coming up on Sunday night from 7 to 9, it's a little later than normal, but 7 to 9 p.m., we'll have the IHSA Tournament Pairings show from Indianapolis. And then normally we do like a big two-hour marathon-type show afterwards and talk with local coaches and kind of set the scene for all the local sectionals and what the pairings look like. With it getting over at 9 o'clock, tough to do something extremely long, but we are planning a one-hour local show to follow things up from Indianapolis and talk with some of the local favorites maybe in sectionals here in this area to give you more of a local flavor on things. So that's all ahead this week. Another very busy week of high school basketball play-by-play as well. Indiana coming up not just tonight but Saturday as well here on the Big X. And we've got some news for Silver Creek. We'll tell you how you can listen to that game as well very soon. So busy, busy week here on the Big X, no question about that. Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. For the Minnesota game tonight, I mentioned that Minnesota, a 9 seed, according to Andy Bottoms right now. Indiana, an 11 seed. So this is a battle of Big Ten teams. Of the 9 that are fighting for places in the NCAA tournament, this is a battle for two of the teams at the very bottom as far as NCAA tournament eligible type teams in the conference, and I think that underscores the importance of tonight's game as well. But for Minnesota, there's no question they've got a redshirt junior point guard, Marcus Carr. If you know anything about Minnesota, if you follow the Big Ten Conference outside of Indiana at all, you know that he's one of the nation's best point guards. He averages 19.4 points a game. He also leads the team with 5.2 assists per game as well. And he's just been really good. And he's been good now for a number of years for this Minnesota team. I don't know if you can stop him, but maybe you hope to slow him down. That obviously has got to be a key for Indiana tonight. Also, Jamal Mashburn Jr. His dad played for Rick Pitino at Kentucky many years ago. Son playing for Richard Pitino now at Minnesota. He's just a freshman, but by all indications, he's going to be a good one for Minnesota. It seems he's really found his role in recent games and is contributing more for this team. So he's another key player. One of their big guys as well, Liam Robbins, He got hurt with an ankle injury on Sunday when Minnesota played Maryland and is questionable for tonight. It sounds like he's been undergoing a lot of treatment, will also undergo treatment when he arrives in Bloomington today, but no word on it. Could be a game-time decision if he is able to play tonight, but without him, he would definitely be a loss for this Minnesota team. The other thing, this is just common sense, but the other key I think of tonight, Saturday against Michigan State, whenever it may be, avoiding another slow start. Can this Indiana team avoid another slow start? It's become one of the patterns of this team. In fact, Archie Miller talked a lot about it yesterday in his media availability leading up to this Minnesota game. But Trace Jackson-Davis can be key to that. He's kind of been one of the guys that I know he gets a lot thrown at him, but he has some slow starts. He often recovers from those slow starts and goes on to have a double-double and goes on at times to score 20-plus points and 10, 15 rebounds. But getting him to be more available, more efficient early on, I think helps Indiana avoid some of these slow starts as well. And obviously that's going to be key tonight against Minnesota. It's going to be key every game the rest of the way for this Indiana team. Big Ten basketball last night. Michigan State, they are trying to get to their 23rd consecutive NCAA tournament, but it really does not look possible for this Tom Izzo coach program, which is crazy to think about, crazy to say. They may have to win out to have a chance to get there, and even then, I'm not sure that they would get into the tournament, but they are definitely on the bubble, and I would say on the wrong side of the bubble right now, and backs up against the wall for sure. Purdue pulled away late, 75-65. It was much closer than that with just a couple minutes left in the game, but Michigan State now 10-9 overall and just 4-9 in the Big Ten Conference. And, of course, Michigan State is who comes to Assembly Hall next after this Minnesota game tonight. They will play at noon on Saturday. Big Ten Conference games this week, tonight. Let me get to the right date here first. Big Ten Conference games this week. Last night, Maryland, a winner over Nebraska. We talked about Michigan State losing to Purdue at Mackey last night. Illinois had a fairly close game, 73-66 against Northwestern. In fact, it was really close down the wire, but Illinois pulls away for a 7-point win. That game was at Champaign. Also tonight, before the IU game, you've got Maryland hosting Nebraska on the Big Ten Network, and that's a back-to-back game, back-to-back matchup. They just played last night in College Park. They'll play again tonight. Nebraska really trying to make up some games. And that's one of the ways to do it. Go somewhere, play a couple games in consecutive nights. So that game will be ahead of IU and Minnesota on the Big Ten Network tonight. Thursday, tomorrow, a really big day for the Big Ten. You've got Iowa, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Penn State, and Rutgers, Michigan as well. How about Michigan? They had a slow start, able to get a win in their return game. You wonder, will they feel the effects of a shutdown and no practices, at least getting together as a team? I'm sure that some of the players were trying to stay in shape and do things on an individual basis, but couldn't get in the facilities, couldn't get in the gyms, couldn't shoot, at least on the goals on the campus. And so a very tough situation for Michigan to overcome, and they've got a chance tomorrow night to get another win after this pause over Rutgers. And then Saturday as well, Michigan State, Indiana, but Illinois, Minnesota, Purdue, Nebraska. There's a whole slate of games as well. Michigan and Ohio State on Sunday, that's a huge game. A 1 o'clock start, Maryland and Rutgers, Penn State, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Northwestern. Again, a lot of games this week in the Big Ten, and a big week as far as placement goes and maybe helping figure some of these spots out in the Big Ten Conference. And obviously each of these games matters for teams trying to get in the NCAA tournament as well. That's a look at our headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Don't forget, we have IU Minnesota coming up tonight on the Big Ten. It's a 9 o'clock tip-off, which means Don Fisher and pregame coverage begins at 8 p.m. here on the Big X. And, of course, you can hear Don Fisher's play-by-play beginning with the tip-off at 9 o'clock. Another late tip-off for this Indiana team. I hate these 9 o'clock games, but a big one tonight for sure. You can bet a lot of Hoosier fans will be awake and peeled to the TV to see if this Indiana team can start the week off at home in the right fashion. We'll be back. You're listening to a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Wednesday program. Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier is with me. And, of course, today we're going to talk about Minnesota and this 9 p.m. tip-off coming up tonight at Assembly Hall. Dustin, there's no question this is a big game. Every Big Ten game is. Every game the rest of the way for this team is going to be big. And especially to me, and I'm not sure if this ultimately factors in things or not, but when you look at bracketologies out there, Indiana and Minnesota, of the nine teams from the conference that are currently projected by many to have a chance to make it in, they're the two bottom teams. And so for Indiana to get this win over Minnesota not only generally helps their tournament chances and has their conference total another win, but this is a win that could help maybe balance things out as far as where Indiana stands among the Big Ten teams working to get in the NCAA tournament.
No, absolutely. I think, like you said, because they're one of the bottom teams in bracketology, in most bracketologies, you know, how 100% accurate that, I mean, that's hard to say, obviously, it's everybody else looking at it, but, you know, I wouldn't think that the people that are on the committee have that much different of view considering the resumes. So when it comes down to Selection Sunday and they're saying if it comes down to one or the other, they're going to look at who won the game. That's going to be obviously a critical piece there is who did better when the two met up with each other, and they're meeting up at Assembly Hall. So obviously that's not the home field advantage it usually is in non-COVID years, but all the same, it's an advantage. You get to wake up in your own bed and whatnot and shoot in your own on your own rim. So Indiana is going to be expected to win this game. If they don't, it's actually absolutely going to be a strike against them. And Minnesota plays much, much better at home than they do on the road. So this is one that the committee is going to look at and say, this is a game that Indiana should win if it wants to be an NCAA tournament team. And if it fails to do so, it's going to be a significant strike against them, I think. You know, obviously there's the possibility that if Indiana gets some other wins, it doesn't kill them, and it just ends up with just with a bigger Big Ten group going. But like you said, right now they both seem to be on the bubble, and I wouldn't go so far as to call it a play-in game, but it could have that. It could be sort of viewed that way if both teams stay on the same track and don't significantly lift themselves.
Dustin, when you look at Minnesota, and I mentioned this in the first segment, obviously Marcus Carr does a little bit of everything for them, and I think if the Big Ten Conference wasn't extremely talented this year with Luka Garza and a couple Illinois guys that they have and other players as well, and Carr's in that mix. Now, he's not above those guys, but he's in the discussion. I think if it wasn't for some of those other real key guys in the conference this year, Marcus Carr would be like a conference player of the year type candidate. He would get maybe even more love within the Big Ten than what he does this season.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think he's one of those guys that he fits the mold of one of those players that is on a mediocre team, but his numbers are just so good that you can't keep him off the all Big Ten first team. You know, he's going to be one of those guys. I'd be really surprised if he's not one of the five. And you don't talk about him for player of the year because you generally only give that to guys whose teams, you know, really win at a high level. So that's why you're talking about Luka Garza and Ayo Dosunmu, you know, primarily for that spot. But after that, I mean, he's you know, he's right there. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the third leading vote getter. You know, it would probably be him and Trace for those spots. I mean, I'm blanking on who else should be there. And I know there's some other obvious names. Travion Williams comes to mind. Kofi Coburn comes to mind. You know, I'm sure there's some guys. Hunter Dickinson is probably too many bigs on that roster right now, but I would be really surprised if Marcus Carr isn't an all-big first-team type guy. And again, if you didn't have two players that were having special seasons for really good teams, that, you know, top 15 teams, he would absolutely be in the running for player of the year.
Dustin, run down through some of the other Minnesota players, if you would, that stand out to you and players to kind of watch in matchups against the Hoosiers tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I haven't looked at the roster enough to sort of reconsider that, but, like, the two that obviously keep getting mentioned, you know, there's Liam Robbins has obviously changed the game for those guys, significantly getting him on the roster has made a big difference, having just a true five-man that's really effective. Gabe Kauscher has been there for a while. I don't think his, like, sort of average numbers are as good as they have been in the past, but he still hits a bunch of threes. He's got a lot of range, you know, and also can really defend on the perimeter. Really good wing defender, I imagine, unless I'm missing somebody, that he's a guy that ends up defending an Armon Franklin, and that is not an easy matchup for Armon. He's, again, got a lot of length, moves around well, really good at guarding shooters. You've seen him do that, you know, very, very well in the past. So he's a tough one. I think, you know, Brandon Johnson is another guy that's proven he can hit some outside shots and also play a little bit inside. So they've got some really good pieces. As Archie Miller has mentioned time and time again, they have some really good wins. They're the only team that's beaten Michigan so far. I think I could be mistaken. I know they've beaten Purdue. You know, beat Purdue recently. They might have beaten Ohio State. I'm blanking on that. I'm not totally sure about that. Might have beaten Illinois. I mean, they've got some really good wins. They've got some ugly losses. They've had a hard time winning on the road. But there was a lot of talent there, and obviously it starts with Carr, and that's really the biggest thing that you have to circle every time, is try not to let Carr beat you.
A name that is familiar to a lot of people here in southern Indiana because of Kentucky, not far in Lexington, is Jamal Mashburn Jr. We obviously remember his father that played for Rick Pitino, and now Jamal Jr. playing for Richard Pitino. But he seems like someone that's got a bright future at Minnesota in the Big Ten, and seems to have really found a groove in recent games for the Minnesota team.
No, absolutely. He's been really effective recently. That's a big name, obviously. I forgot. It's still wild to consider that Jamal Mashburn could be old enough to have a kid that we're covering now. But he is. I mean, I saw Jamal come into, like, walk into Fisher's Fieldhouse, I guess summer of 2019, I guess spring of 19, whatever it was, the last time they were openly having AAU tournaments. And like, oh my God, you know, that's Jamal Mashburn. He's really there, and he's really this old now. But he's been kind of, it's shown he can score the basketball. And, you know, he's not the same as his old man. I don't think he's got quite that level of athleticism. But like you said, I think he's got a really bright future. You know, he's been productive lately, stepped up in recent games. I think he had a pretty good game against Purdue. Don't remember what he scored in that game, but it was, you know, it was pretty significant. So he's absolutely a guy that's going to make some moves. I mean, I think you keep looking at Rick Pitino Jr., and I think a lot of people think, well, you know, they're just not achieving enough. And they're right, but he does keep getting some players. You know, he does keep bringing some guys in that are able to make a difference. He's had some pretty decent recruiting wins. And it hasn't gotten really the biggest guys that have come out of Minnesota, and that's an issue. But he has been able to get some players and, you know, just, again, turn that into a pretty talented team.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier in advance of this IU-Minnesota, a big one tonight for the Hoosiers. I think a key will be, does the seven-footer Liam Robbins play? He's questionable. He had an ankle injury in the Sunday game for Minnesota against Maryland. And obviously with Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson, such key players playing a lot in the post for Indiana, a seven-footer and that wingspan, that height can really affect things down there. So I don't know if he's in for sure, out for sure, but it sounds like it could be a game-time decision for him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not sure where he stands either, but it is really critical because, you know, however much resistance they can put on Trace Jackson Davis, and obviously there's been a lot of talk this week about Trace and how he's dealing with, you know, just slow starts. He obviously went off for 23-9 against Ohio State. He was the only reason they were in that game at all at any point. But, you know, he misses a couple early, and that's part of the big, huge drought that they go on to fall behind 21-6 in that game, and they were in a hole where they had to fight out of the rest of the way. So Trace is obviously working with a lot of that and thinking about his just basically his start, and it is always harder when he's dealing with more physical guys up front that are going to get in his way and block his shots and alter his stuff and make it more difficult for him to get buckets even when he gets the ball down low. So that is significant, basically, and that is you know, Robbins is the guy that allows them to, you know, at least close to even Indiana up down low, and they don't have him. They just don't have nearly as much of an inside presence. So if he's gone, that makes things a lot easier for both Race and Trace.
Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier, my guest. This is a big week for Indiana. We know that. It's obvious, two home games, winnable games against Minnesota, followed by Michigan State. And two wins here, I think, really helps this team. It's just obvious going down the stretch into the NCAA tournament. But this is also a big week for the Big Ten. There are some really big matchups. I was going through the schedule last night, some of the games, and what's ahead this weekend. Even a huge slate of games on Sunday. This is really kind of a week where the Big Ten, I think, will start to sort itself out even more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we're obviously getting down to it close up. I mean, I think Michigan State Purdue was a pretty big game last night. Illinois Northwestern ended up being a lot closer than it ought to have been, but it tells you more about that Illinois team, about that, how they can always, no matter how poorly they start, you have Io, and he's going to be able to make some plays. I'm not looking at the schedule right now. Remind me, who else is this week?
Well, let me pull it up here. It's just a big week. I know Sunday you've got Michigan and Ohio State. Of course, Indiana's got their two games. Illinois takes on Minnesota. Purdue's in action a couple more times. Iowa, Wisconsin, I'm just scrolling through. And Michigan gets back Thursday against Rutgers. And then, of course, plays Ohio State on Sunday. A big week to see if they can kind of stay at the top of the conference by themselves, I think. So just a big shakeout, I think, will happen after this week. A lot of games, some big games, and just a lot of interesting matchups.
Yeah, no, that Michigan-Ohio State game is massive. I wasn't sure when that was coming up. But that really is going to tell you, I guess, who's really the front runner in this league. I think that win for Michigan on Sunday is such a big deal. Them being able to come out of a pause. You know, they didn't look good early, but, you know, only needing a half to kind of shake off all the rust that comes from. I mean, they had, you know, what, 3 weeks off, because of the COVID pause. So that is going to be a big one. If Michigan can continue that, if they are, you know, this close to being back already, I mean, that's big. But obviously, if Ohio State can turn it around, that's big as well. I mean, that's a really impressive-looking team. I was very, very impressed with what they were able to do against Indiana, just how they were able to dismantle them. You've seen, obviously, Indiana on so many occasions be able to fight back in games that they've fallen behind. And they just never were against Ohio State. Ohio State was, you know, too physical, has shooters, has big physical dudes who can make plays. E.J. Liddell is just a terrific player. So you really got an idea of how good they are. And so it's like, okay, how does that match up with that best team? I think it's clear that those two teams have a little bit more in the tank than Illinois or Wisconsin or Iowa, which I would say is sort of the next tier in this league at this point. So how do you divide between the two of them? And again, is Michigan going to be able to perform at the level they were performing at before the pause? You know, can they keep that going? That's a big question, I think. So that's going to tell you a lot about this week. I mean, like I think you said, Illinois and Iowa, that's a big deal to kind of also parse out that kind of tier. Is Illinois, you know, is Illinois clearly better than Iowa? Can Iowa get back to where it was? Is Iowa going to continue to have one of those sort of February meltdowns that they tend to have? Can they get back up? I don't want to say off the mat a little bit because they obviously had a massive, you know, just nasty win over Michigan State on Saturday. But, you know, I still have questions about that team, and I imagine everybody else does just because, again, they haven't proven they can defend. Indiana's beat them twice, so you've seen a lot of the flaws that they've got. So those are some big questions there. So, no, I think a lot of questions get answered this week in terms of who's really, you know, again, who's really legit.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier, Archie Miller discussed this in his press conference on Tuesday, and it's something that IU fans, I think, are just befuddled about on a regular basis. But Indiana and their slow starts. And so when you think about a big week and needing some victories, obviously the number one key to all of these games, I think, coming up for Indiana is to get off to a reasonably good start. And that includes Trace Jackson Davis. He's been known to kind of be hampered with slow starts as well, although often he recovers nicely from those slow starts. What did Archie have to say about that yesterday? And what's your thought about why this team has kind of become known for its patented slow starts?
I thought that was really a fascinating discussion, really between the two of them going back to Saturday. Because, you know, Archie was asked about it, and then Trace was asked about it. And they both said, you know, and basically they both said that, hey, Trace gets nervous. And Trace said, yeah, you know, I get in my own head a little bit. I'm thinking too much. You know, I thought he was interesting on the press conference yesterday, but even more interesting on his radio show on Monday night when he talked about just Trace just thinking too much and, you know, getting into the game and thinking about what the opponent is going to do defensively as far as how they're going to double and where the double is going to come from and what that defense is going to look like. And he sort of takes him a minute just to figure out what an opponent is going to do, and he sits there thinking about that rather than just being aggressive and physical from the start and trying to establish himself. He's more sort of thinking and waiting to see what they're going to do and kind of play in kind. And once he gets a rhythm and an understanding for, you know, this is where this defense is going to come from, this is when I have to pass out, this is when I'm going to try to take it to somebody, it takes him a while to sort of figure that out. And that in some of those cases, he misses a couple bunnies, he misses a couple free throws, that spirals a little bit, just long enough for Indiana to fall behind. And then after that, he, you know, gets his rhythm, gets it together, and goes and drops 20 and 10. After that, but you know, in some cases the damage is done to some degree. But you know, again, you know, Archie also said, hey, we need him to be Hercules sometimes, and that's a lot to ask. You know, we're talking about a game where he went for 23 and 9, and we're talking about how he could have done better if he'd have made these layups and these free throws in the first 10 minutes. So it's kind of a tough spot for him to be in. Again, you know, so much is run through Trace. But also that's the thing, when you're starting off plays and they're kind of scripted a little bit to start, you know, and you get the player that you want, and you get the ball in the hand of the player that you want to have it, and he doesn't score, then, you know, that leads to some issues. And, you know, that's obviously a problem early on when, you know, the guy, again, that you're running plays for isn't scoring the basketball. That's a big reason why you're not going to be effective and efficient. Then you kind of needed him to settle down, especially when it comes to when he gets the ball at the rim, just not think about where the defense is and just, you know, worry about using the glass and putting the ball in the bucket.
Dustin Dopierak, the Daily Hoosier, my guest. Dustin, other keys tonight? Obviously, avoiding a slow start is probably A1, but what else comes to mind?
You know, I think, obviously, as you mentioned before, you know, it's keeping Carr from going crazy, and that makes it big for Rob's fantasy. And I think a lot of fans are, clamoring for some kind of lineup change, particularly at the point guard position. Some definitely want to see Christian Lander get in there, especially about the, you know, the way he's played recently. He's become a lot more comfortable, shown a lot of good court vision, and made some just gorgeous passes. You know, reminding everybody why he was a five-star recruit, why you know Indiana was willing to have him reclass. You've kind of seen what makes Christian Lander special the last couple weeks. But Rob Phinisee is going to be is going to have a much better chance of slowing down Marcus Carr. I mean, Phinisee has proven himself as a defender for all the lack of production lately, and certainly everybody would have, you know, Indiana fans would have liked to see a lot more from Rob Phinisee at this point in his career, being a junior. But generally, when there's a really good point guard that he's got to defend and he locks down on him, he usually does a pretty good job of slowing players like that down. When it's an assignment that says, hey, Rob, you got to go get this guy, he usually does pretty well. I imagine that's going to be his assignment, and I can't imagine putting Christian Lander in that position at this point. He's just not ready defensively. He's gotten better. I think he's improved. He can hold his own. But against a guy like that, that's a little bit too much. And Marcus Carr is going to go out there and play 35 minutes. Lander is probably going to have to guard him at some point. But you don't want him on there for 20, 25, 30 minutes. Phinisee's going to have that assignment, and that's going to be a really big key, is how well does Phinisee do on Marcus Carr? Can he slow him down? Because if you can slow Carr down, you're going to have a shot. If you can hold Carr under 20, you have a real opportunity to beat them. He's going to get his. He's going to get some buckets. You're not going to shut him down completely. It's happened on a few occasions, but it's rare. But you have a much better chance if you can keep him in the 10 to 15 range than if he's going off for 20, 25.
Yeah, absolutely. Dustin Dopierak, you can read some preview coverage of the IU-Minnesota game at thedailyhoosier.com. And as always, Dustin, thanks for the pregame chat. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
All right, Dustin Dopierak with us here on this Wednesday edition of the program. Also, I saw that former IU football standout and great Antoine Randall L. hired by the Detroit Lions as wide receivers coach. So neat to see him get an opportunity in pro football. Of course, another opportunity for him. He was previously with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with our final segment. We'll turn the attention to some local sports, including a big week of high school boys basketball, Semi-State girls basketball coming up on Saturday, and Jeffersonville, a host of the Semi-State for girls, one of the two Southern Indiana hosts along with Jasper. Let's just hope that more weather coming in, possibly tonight, doesn't derail plans more than it already has this week for high school hoops here in our area. Back with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, in our segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, coming your way after the commercial break. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
A reminder, IU basketball tonight. Pregame coverage begins here on the Big X at 8. And, of course, tip-off in the big home game for the Hoosiers against Minnesota, 9 p.m. tonight. This segment with Josh Cook is brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com. to find out more. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me now. And Josh, a big week. Let's just hope that more weather possibly coming in overnight or later this evening does not derail plans for what should be a big weekend for high school boys basketball in the regular season. And of course, for the Silver Creek girls, one game away from a state championship appearance.
Yeah, let's hope Mother Nature allows it all to happen. Kind of been a slow week so far, but yeah, there's some good games coming up on Friday night, too, scheduled for Friday night. Evansville Wrights at Jeff, and Albany at Bedford, and Providence North Harrison. Some good games on tap. Hopefully we'll get them in.
Josh, you wrote about this earlier, but I want to have you break it down for us. With Jeffersonville's win on Saturday over Jennings County, there is really a log jam at the top of the Hoosier Hills Conference. I think we have five teams that have two losses in the Hoosier Hills right now, and things will start to shake out this weekend. You've got New Albany and Bedford, Madison and Jennings County. I think that game was postponed and going to be made up at some point this week. And as other conference games are played, things will eventually work their way out. But right now, it's kind of up in the air on who's going to win this Hoosier Hills, and is there going to be a 2-3, maybe 4-way tie for a conference championship this year?
Yeah, definitely. I think there'll definitely be a tie at some between maybe two or three teams, but yeah, right now you got four teams sitting up there at 4-2, and then Madison's got two losses as well. They're only 2-2, so you know they've got a chance as well. It's kind of just shows what a crazy year it's been, and how balanced I think the conference is, and really I think it shows too that, you know, since most of these teams are in the same sectional, that sectional is just going to be really Seymour sectional is going to be really up for grabs. You can say Floyd Central, Jeff, New Albany, you know, Jennings, they're all going to be in the mix, and you know, Bedford and Seymour could play spoiler, but you know, any of those four teams could win the conference, and then whoever wins the conference doesn't guarantee you're going to do well in the sectional. So who knows? It's kind of a topsy-turvy year.
Draw for the boys comes out on Sunday. So after a big weekend of some late season, regular season games, we'll find out what the pairings look like for the sectionals a few weeks from now. And it's just very interesting. I think all of our local sectionals have a chance to be extremely interesting this year. 3A, even with Silver Creek being such a dominant team, you know, you've got Madison, you've got North Harrison, you've got some well-coached teams. You never know who can slip up on anybody any certain day. But especially in 4A, New Albany has beaten Floyd and beaten Jeff of our local teams. And so the common sense would be, okay, let's put the favorite on New Albany. But if you look at the loss to Jennings County and some other losses in the regular season schedule, I'm not sure that anybody would unanimously say that the Bulldogs are the favorite. I'm not sure that there would be any unanimous favorite if you let people vote on it. So very interesting sectional storylines this year. Of course, we'll wait till the pairings are out Sunday to really start to break them down and see what the matchups could look like and see who has to play who again and who gets the easiest draw. Those are always fun things to see. But I tell you what, it definitely in Seymour, I think the draw is really going to matter this year more than any other year recently that I can think of.
Yeah, there's definitely not a clear-cut favorite this year. And don't forget that New Albany only beat Seymour in overtime.
Absolutely.
Seymour, so that's an interesting one, too, a result as well. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's no great team this year. There's no Romeo-led New Albany or anything, so it's going to be up for grabs. You know, maybe Floyd wins it 2 years in a row. Maybe New Albany wins it again. Maybe Jeff wins it. Maybe Jennings. You know, who knows? It's crazy. Yeah, a lot will depend on the draw. You know, who gets the byes. Sorry. So it'll be interesting. We'll see if maybe New Albany and Jeff end up on the same side of the bracket. I don't know. When's the last time that happened?
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk more high school hoops here in a moment. I want to flip to the girls, but first, Josh Jefferson, and we enjoy, I know you as well, spotlighting former Southern Indiana athletes that were great high school athletes here in our area. But Josh Jefferson of New Albany has really been on a tear since Christmas. He's been putting up some big numbers, getting some starting opportunities for Green Bay. He's a senior there, and he was voted as a player of the week by a media outlet that tracks former junior college players that are now playing at the Division I ranks. He's had some big moments here recently, and that's been really good to see for him. I think he's probably trying to set himself up to play basketball after this senior year, maybe overseas somewhere and still get paid to play and continue to do what he loves. But, boy, he's been on a really good streak here in this new year.
Yeah, he's really playing well. You know, he's having a great season. Yeah, it definitely sets him up for hopefully, hopefully a pro career overseas. I think that's definitely possible. You know, he had a career high 27 points the other day against Northern Kentucky. So that's great. He's playing well. And, I definitely could see him going overseas and playing. That'd be great for him.
Girls basketball in the final few weeks of the season, and Jeffersonville will host some really good games on Saturday. Of course, of most interest locally is the 3A game, which puts Silver Creek against Tri-West, the Dragons, number one, coming off of a very big regional performance, a big win over Evansville Memorial, followed by Rushville in the championship game. I think the more I read about this Tri-West team, I think the Dragons are the favorite, but this Tri-West group is playing good basketball at the right time of year. You've just got to look back to the regional results to find out that is the case. So I think a good 3A game coming, but I think Silver Creek's going to be able to do it, barring any kind of upset.
Yeah, I would say Silver Creek's favorite, but yeah, I mean, any team that's still alive this time of year is going to be a good team, going to be a solid team. So, it should be a good game. I know Tri-West got a good junior, Ken Kirby, who's averaging like 16 points a game, something like that. So, she's their leading scorer, but you know, I expect a good game at Jeff. I do expect Silver Creek to win, but I definitely think it'll be competitive.
Yeah, no question. And hats off to Jeffersonville for being able to host once again the Semi-State this year. Love to see our local schools that are eligible with facilities that hold enough people, which really isn't an issue this year during the pandemic. But nice to see Jeffersonville continue to host the girls Semi-State. And that 4A game will be interesting as well. Should be a good day of girls basketball here locally, Josh.
Yeah, it should be. It's a nice. It's nice that Silver Creek hasn't had to go too far in any of these games. You know, I guess the farthest they've had to go is Madison for the sectional, so that's nice. So Madison for the sectional, Charlestown for the regional, Jeff for the semi-state. So that's nice. It's kind of like some of those years where Louisville played in Indianapolis and then played somewhere else nearby to go to the NCAA tournament. So, I expect good games Saturday at Jeffersonville. And then, if Silver Creek wins, it'll be they'll play in that state final, which will be at, according to the schedule, I believe it's 5 p.m. on Saturday the 27th.
Absolutely, so, absolutely. So
something to look ahead to.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hope that the Dragons can get there locally and, of course, play for a state championship. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Josh, as always, thanks for being with me, and we'll talk with you again next week on this day.
That sounds good. Thanks for having me, and happy birthday to the GOAT, Michael Jordan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good one. Absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They can help if you're looking to raise money for your team or event. Let their online fan stores work for you. You can outfit fans and raise money with very little effort. Major League even does the sorting. All you've got to do is cash the check. Find out more about this program at mlshirtco.com. That's mlshirtco.com. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Somebody sent this to me earlier, and I wanted to get this on the air, and you may have seen it, but KenPom, the computer ratings strength of schedule as of today, of the top 10 teams, 9 of the top 10 are Big Ten teams. And I'm going to go through the top 10 with you. Northwestern, according to KenPom, with the number 1 strength of schedule. Penn State, number 2. Maryland, number 3. Guess who's number 4? The Indiana Hoosiers. Number 5 is the lone non-Big Ten conference team. That's UK, the Kentucky Wildcats. Number 6, Purdue. Number 7, Illinois. Number 8, Rutgers. Number 9, Nebraska. And number 10, Minnesota, who Indiana plays tonight. So we talk about this Big Ten conference being really good. Obviously, it's got a lot of great coaches, great players, a lot of great teams this year. But the scheduling by this team, by the conference teams in this conference, have been really good this year. I don't think there's any question about that. And I think that little glance into the KenPom strength of schedule ratings is just reassurance that some tough stuff going on in the Big Ten. And when these teams play each other, obviously that's helping their strength of schedule because of how good the conference is this season as well. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Just a few programming notes for you before we go. Coming up on Thursday at 6 o'clock, we have our Semi-State preview show. Silver Creek girls coach Scott Shane will be with us. We'll also talk with a couple juniors this time around on the Silver Creek team, Kennedy Striverson and also Emmy Rooney. And the Tri-West coach, Coach Gliva, will join us on the program coming up Thursday night as well. And then on Friday, we've got high school basketball, New Albany at Bedford coming up. And we'll tell you more about our plans for Saturday a little bit later in the week. But that's a look at the rest of the week, the rest of the schedule. And, of course, tonight, Indiana-Minnesota pregame coverage begins at 8 o'clock, and all the action tips off at 9 o'clock. That game is on Big Ten Network, and of course Don Fisher has the call here on the Big X Sports Radio. Don't forget, you can check us out as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts and really most any place that you might listen to podcasts. All you got to do is search for The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you can listen for free at your convenience. And no matter how you're with us each day, whether it's live on the Big X or whether you're streaming us or whether you're listening to the podcast, we are so very glad that you are with us. There's no question about that. I'll be back with you Thursday at 11 a.m. Thanks for being with us here on this Wednesday program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.